Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Now, in your bulletin, the text we're zooming in on this morning is actually verses 24 through 34, but I'm going to read verses 21 through 43 because the context of what's happening here is crucial for our understanding and getting the whole picture of everything that's going on. So follow along with me this morning as I read starting in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear. Only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. I know that was a big piece, and we're going to be zooming in on verses 24 through 34 this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to pull four pieces of truth out of this that I believe apply directly to us, specifically this time of year when we're going into our time of pointing to and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So the first thing we see here this morning, our first truth piece is this, that the compassion of Jesus is seen in his willingness to be overwhelmed and interrupted by the needs of people. Now go back to verse 21. This is why I want us to see the whole context here. Verse 21, it says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea." So we see Jesus gets out of his boat. He steps on the land, and the first thing that happens is the crowds gather. We see Jesus very few moments where the crowds are not moving in on him to hear him teach, to pursue him, to find healing in him, or get him to come to one of their relatives who need healing. constantly overwhelmed by the crowds. Verses 22 and 23, then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet, implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he, Jesus, went with him. So we see again here, like even as he's been overwhelmed by the crowds, he has one of the rulers, the religious rulers of the day, over the Jewish synagogue, come to him and say, my daughter's dying. Will you come to my house? And so Jesus is not only overwhelmed, he's interrupted. Wherever he's going is stopped, is put on hold by not only the crowds, but by specific request of individuals. Here, the man whose daughter is dying. We see in verse 24, in the second part of it, it says, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Literally, the word throng means they were crowding around him in such a way that they were pressing in on him. You think of big-time celebrities or the President of the United States, if he didn't have his Secret Service and the people that kept people from doing this, this is what would happen. People would literally press in on those celebrities, press in on people who are well-known and just want to touch them, see them, hear their voice, ask questions. That's what these people are doing to Jesus, pressing in on him and touching him and walking with him, going wherever he's going. And in the middle of this, so Jesus has been overwhelmed and interrupted. In the middle of this, we see this lady. Verse 25 and 26. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She reaches out and touches Jesus, and Jesus knows it, and he stops. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a day like this day in Jesus' life where your interruptions are interrupted? I mean, Jesus constantly overwhelmed by people, and not just people, but people in their needs, and constantly interrupted where he was going, what he was doing, constantly. And we see his compassion and his willingness to be overwhelmed and interrupted by people in their needs. Some might say that Jesus wasn't interrupted, that's why he was here, but we need to see that Jesus was doing things. And while he didn't mind, he showed compassion to the people who stopped him in the middle of the street and overwhelmed him by coming to him and asking him questions, asking him to teach, asking him and imploring him to come to their houses. He was overwhelmed and interrupted. To pretend that he wasn't would be to ignore the fact that he's not only fully God, but he's also fully man. We see this over and over again. In Mark 2, we see him healing people in a house, and all of a sudden, above him, the house is so crowded, above him, the roof opens up because somebody's dug a hole through it. And a paralytic is lowered through so that he would touch him and heal him. He was interrupted while he was being overwhelmed by the needs of people inside that house. Mark 5, the demoniac, he sets foot on the shore of where he's going, and immediately is approached by this demon-possessed man who lives in tombs and a lot of other details there. He's overwhelmed and interrupted. Mark 6, the feeding of the 5,000. He and his disciples are going off to pray. They need rest. They get to where they're going, and the people are waiting for them. The disciples are like, send them away, Jesus. And Jesus says, you feed them. Constantly overwhelmed and interrupted. And that is where we see the compassion of Jesus. It's not that he wasn't interrupted. It's that his interaction with the people that overwhelmed him and the people that interrupt him, his compassion for them did not make them feel that they were interrupting him. Church, it is our responsibility to make others feel that way too. It would be good of us if we say we follow Jesus. It would be good of us to ask that question of ourselves. When people approach us with their needs, whoever they are, friends, family, when people approach us with their needs, do we make them feel as if they've interrupted us, or do we respond to their needs or send them to someone who can? The other thing we need to keep in mind here this morning is that the compassion of Jesus that he shows to Jairus here, the man with the sick daughter, the dying daughter, and the woman who touched the hem of his garment, the compassion that we see here is the same compassion that Jesus has for you. It's the same compassion. It's good news, isn't it? The compassion of Jesus seen in his willingness to be overwhelmed and interrupted. It's seen in his willingness to be overwhelmed and interrupted by the needs of people. We can take whatever's overwhelming us to him today. Because of what we're celebrating this season, the fact that he is not dead, he is our living Lord, we can take whatever we need to take to him, to him. Our second truth piece is this. The compassion of Jesus is seen in his willingness to cross barriers for people. His willingness to cross barriers for people. Look at verse 25. This may sound strange, but just stay with me for a second. Look at verse 25. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Now this woman, we don't know this for sure, but this probably had something to do with the fact that she was a woman, which meant several things. It meant she was barren. The details that Mark gives us mean she had gone to doctors and doctors spent all she had. Everything they had done to try to help her had made it worse, which means she's not going to live forever continually bleeding, losing blood. The other thing it means is that she was ritually unclean, ostracized from her community. She wasn't even supposed to be where she was here, among people, touching people, in this crowd that's thronging and pressing in around Jesus. She wasn't supposed to be there. She certainly wasn't supposed to be touching other people. But notice what she did. She secretly, well, let's just read it. Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Why do you think she did it like that? Didn't want anybody to know. Yeah, she didn't want to be noticed. She wanted to go in hoping that if she just touched him, believing if she just touched his clothes, that she would be healed so that she could easily slip back out of the crowd. Jesus could have responded in a lot of different ways. We see the fact that he's fully God and fully man in this instance is his robe is touched. All these people are pressing in on him, touching him. His robe is touched. Look at these verses. Look at what happens. Verse 28, she said, if I touch his garment, even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, see that? Fully God. Immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? At the same time he's fully God, he has limited himself, fully man. He doesn't know who. Perhaps he doesn't know who. Some would say he does. You could argue both ways. But he turns around and he says, who touched my garments? Because he knows somebody's touched him with faith and they've been healed. And she was. She was healed. Disciples are looking at Jesus again like he's may have lost his marbles. But what we see here is a boundary that's been crossed. And when Jesus finds out what boundary has been crossed, verse 34, it says, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" He doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't chastise her for crossing boundaries she shouldn't have crossed. He affirms her healing. He affirms her peace with God Almighty. And he says, "Be healed of your disease." See, Jesus was willing to cross boundaries for people. I want you to think about this for a second. We have boundaries today. You come south of the Mason-Dixon line and you don't order iced tea, right? You order tea. If you order tea, it's going to be sweet. If you don't want it sweet, you say unsweet, right? It's a boundary. It's just a social norm here. I guess if you go far enough south, I could ask some of my Florida friends, if you go far enough south, does it change? Yeah, it changes. All right, so it's the social norm here. And what we have, most of our boundaries today are social norms and are made of tradition. And when we are called as the church to show compassion to all people, what oftentimes happens is we are limited by those social norms and those traditions. A couple of them to think about. Racial boundaries, generational boundaries, boundaries of tradition within the church itself. The question we have to ask ourselves as a church is, as we move forward in the weeks and months and years ahead, are we going to allow our decisions to be driven, guided by the Holy Spirit and driven by the compassion of Jesus, or are we going to allow our decisions to be limited by the social norms and traditions of the day? Jesus, his compassion was seen in the fact that he was willing to cross boundaries for people. Willing to cross boundaries for people. It's the same kind of compassion he's shown towards us. Truth piece three. We're going to move quickly through this one, so just hang with me. The compassion of Jesus is seen in his willingness to be chastised by people. Look at verses 30 and 31. In the midst of being interrupted by this woman, this is what happens. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" You catch this a lot in the Gospel of Mark. The other Gospel writers didn't point this out. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, didn't point this out as much. But the Gospel of Mark points this out over and over and over again. The sinfulness and doubtfulness and almost sarcastic nature at times of the disciples towards Jesus, as if they knew more than he did. Even in this comment, it's doubtful and it's sarcastic towards Jesus. Look down on to verse 39 and 40. We see Jesus, this isn't what we're zooming in on today, but I want you to see it because it's right here in the same context. Jesus comes to heal this little girl that has passed away. Verse 39, "And when he entered, he said to them, 'Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him." They laughed at him. In both cases, Jesus is reaching out to people who have interrupted him with their needs. It didn't matter that they interrupted him. He cared for them. So he stops what he's doing and he's seeking them out. And in both cases, He's treated by people around him as if he doesn't know what he's doing. He was willing to be chastised for the people he was helping. And this is one of the themes of Jesus' ministry. You think about it. The religious leaders of the day, the Jewish leaders, constantly pursuing Jesus to ask him specific questions to try and trip him up that they might be able to arrest him and accuse him of wrongdoing. Over and over and over again, if you read through any of the Gospels. You think about his own family doubting his identity as the Son of God. Even though they've seen him since day one, constantly doubting who he was. Think about his hometown rejecting his authority and rejecting his teaching, rejecting his identity as the Son of God. You think about his own people sending him to the cross. Who was it that was crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him"? During the trials, in front of Pilate, it was the Jewish people, Jesus' own people. He was chastised. And he was willing to be so that he could meet the needs of the people who were in need. And we see the compassion of Jesus in his willingness to be chastised by people. There's nowhere this is more clearly seen than the cross. And this is kind of where we bring it home this morning. There's nowhere this is more clearly seen than the cross. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus in these weeks, pointing to April 16th. Today we specifically point to his resurrection, but we're celebrating his resurrection right now. And as we read about the compassion of Jesus in his ministry, we need to realize our fourth truth piece this morning is this, that the compassion of Jesus is magnified and multiplied for us in the cross. Jesus was overwhelmed and interrupted by the cross. You can flip to Mark chapter 14 if you'd like to follow along with me, or you can just listen and write it down if you're a note taker. Mark chapter 14, 32 through 36. This is just right before Jesus' arrest, right before the trials, right before the cross. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, verse 32 of 14 of Mark. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed. Jesus knows what's coming. Greatly distressed and troubled. Those two words there in the Greek can also be translated as horrified and dismayed. Greatly distressed and troubled, verse 34, and he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is describing Jesus being overwhelmed by the crumbling cross. Overwhelmed by the physical torture he would endure, overwhelmed by the mental torture he would endure, overwhelmed by the spiritual torture he would endure. Overwhelmed. Luke 22 describes Jesus as being in agony when he prays here, in agony and sweating droplets of blood. And also think of Jesus being interrupted. Some would say that the ripe old age of 33 is still wet behind the ears. Jesus was a young man. And he knew where he was going the whole time. But we need to see that the cross interrupted his life, his perfect life, his sinless life, and it overwhelmed the God-man, Jesus. So the compassion of Jesus is magnified and multiplied for us in the cross, but also the cross of Jesus crossed a boundary when he put on flesh for us. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, I'm going to read it quickly. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We actually have multiple boundaries in that one little section of Philippians 2 that are being crossed by Jesus. The first one is this. He is God and he puts on flesh. He is born a man. The second one is this. He is the only perfect man to live and he crosses over to death. And we see Jesus' compassion. Catch this. We see Jesus' compassion and his willingness to cross over the boundary from life to death, that we might place faith in him and cross over from death to life. His compassion is magnified and multiplied in the cross. Jesus was chastised upon the cross. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne, this is speaking of Jesus, nearly 800 years before his birth. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Jesus was tried and sentenced to death unjustly. He was betrayed, denied, and abandoned by his closest friends. He was mocked and spit on, beaten and tortured, all leading up to an agonizing, torturous death. And so we see that the compassion of Jesus is magnified and multiplied for us in the cross because we see his chastisement that he endured from the beginning of the end to the end of his ministry was magnified and multiplied in the cross. In church, we need to see that the same compassion that the woman received from Jesus when she touched his garment and he turned around and asked, "Who touched me?" That compassion is the compassion we've been given through the cross, but to an even greater extent. For those of us who have placed faith in Jesus and surrendered our life to him, that are part of the church, and I'm not necessarily talking about Esau, but a part of the church, we are in Jesus. As we celebrate Easter, we must remember that we are responsible to show the compassion of Jesus to those around us. Do the people in your life receive that kind of compassion from you? Be it children, spouse, friends, family, coworkers. As an individual Jesus followers, we can be encouraged by this morning, greatly encouraged. We recognize that the woman and even Jairus, the man with the dying daughter, go to Jesus out of great need, overwhelmed themselves by their life situation. And we see Jesus' compassion for them. And let me just say to you this morning, I know a lot of us came from a lot of different circumstances and situations today. Perhaps for you, just the end of this day would be a victory to get to it without being overwhelmed. And I just want to say that in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your overwhelming parenting, in the midst of health decisions and being overwhelmed by health problems, whatever it is that you're in the middle of, Jesus has compassion for you. and you can take it to him. You should take it to him. The question for you personally today, if you're here and you know about Jesus and you're curious about Jesus, but you haven't necessarily surrendered, given your life to him, the question for you is not whether Jesus has compassion for you. It's not whether he's shown compassion to you. He has. He did in the cross. It's whether or not you've surrendered your life to him. Whether or not you've trusted him. If you're in the Lord today, you've found salvation in him, then today is a reason to praise, looking at his compassion for us through the cross. Today's also perhaps a day that you can just go to the cross, maybe crawling because of the weight you carry on your shoulders, but you can, knowing he has compassion for you. Maybe today is a day where you just come for the first time and just say, Jesus, my life is yours. I trust you. However you need to respond this morning, follow the Holy Spirit and respond. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your compassion for us. We thank you that you are consistently compassionate. You were when you were here, you were on the cross, and you are today as you minister to us through your Spirit. So Lord, I pray that you would lead us to respond in an appropriate way to your compassion today. If that's as followers of you, just giving thanks and praise to the one who has shown us compassion, or as followers of you who are overwhelmed with needs in our own life that we need to bring to your feet, and I pray that we would. If we do not, have not surrendered our lives to you, God, I pray that that would happen. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.